Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And we do hope your Thursday is going well, moving quickly through the first full week of February 2019. And so excited about our interviews this morning and our guests, and excited to have you along. Oftentimes we think, gosh, how can I make a difference? What can I do? I'm just one person, and I certainly can't have any impact. Au contraire, yes you can, especially if you share your story. Stories. Our Lord was the greatest motivational speaker and storyteller. And he used stories and parables and analogies to help people get it, to understand who he was and why he was there and why he came. And your story can have a lot of impact. Don't ever think that, well, it's not dramatic enough, blah, 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 I didn't have any. Look, we all have a journey, and you never know how your personal story can help someone. With that in mind, we're going to hear from Sohrab Ahrami. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Ahrami. And the book is From Fire by Water, published by our friends at Ignatius Press, My Journey to the Catholic Faith. And wait till you hear his story. If he can come into the Catholic Church and be such a great witness now, anybody can. And everybody should have the courage to share their story. Now, you have to figure out when the best time is, and you have to pray and discern. And as that old Kenny Rogers song used to say, you have to know when to fold them, know when to hold them. There are times, the best times maybe, to share with someone, but the Lord will give you the words, and if you stay in contact with him, if you receive the sacraments regularly, if you pray and read the scriptures and stay in his word, he will help you and share with you when you need to tell someone maybe your story. So I'm really interested to hear about this man's incredible journey into the Catholic Church, especially with his background, From Fire by Water, My Journey to the Catholic Faith. And we're also going to be taking a look at some of the craziness that's out there in terms of what's going on with so-called Christian schools, both Catholic and Protestant, some very strange things that are happening where you think. And this isn't exactly anything new in terms of we've seen all kinds of issues, but what the Newman Society does is they kind of highlight it and show why it's so important if you are planning on sending your children to a quote-unquote Catholic school to make sure it's Catholic and not just a name only. So we'll talk about some of the bizarre things that you wouldn't expect to be happening at Catholic schools and what we can do about it. So that's our program for today. And at 15 minutes past the hour, my stellar producer, Andrew, is standing by. Well, actually, he's sitting by to take your calls. And I know you're going to want to chat with our guests and share what's on your heart this morning. Also, I want to tell you to check out this article that I posted. The response has been huge. Thank you so much for your great comments and insights. So after the State of the Union, after we saw all those women dressed in white, I thought it would be interesting to offer a history lesson. It was targeted at those women, those congressional reps and senators who were dressed in white. And they said that they were dressing in white, as I mentioned yesterday, to remind folks of the sacrifices of the suffragette movement back in the early 1900s that gave us the right to vote. Fine. But what they don't tell you, and was pretty obvious on their faces, and the president was reaffirming his pro-life stance, is that a majority of those women are staunchly pro-abortion. I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't see any of them clapping when the president was talking about his concerns, especially with recent discussions and recent laws that were passed and the big pink celebration that went on in New York when late-term abortion was enshrined into their state constitution by a quote-unquote Catholic governor, Andrew Cuomo. So the article I posted was a great op-ed piece by our friend Marjorie Dannenfelser, a convert to Catholicism, somebody who was formerly pro-choice. She gave a great interview with her own Catherine Hadro at the EWTM March for Life coverage that we had in studio. If you can go online and find it, it's really worth listening to. But she wrote this really great op-ed piece for Time Magazine, of all places. It was published back in 2015. But it's really well written, and she documents the pro-life, staunch pro-life stance of the early suffragette movement. Not just Susan B. Anthony, after which their organization is named. And so I'm sitting there and seeing these women in white and thinking, do they even know, or are they just blatantly trying to claim that that didn't exist? So that's why I posted the piece, and I was just telling my listeners in my first hour of Catholic Connection, in my Midwest hour, that as of this morning, there were close to 1,000 shares, and it reached, it had a reach of over 30,000, and I think over, well, over 80 comments. And really good comments. The article itself is excellent, but the insightfulness of those of you who are weighing in, really, really well done. And this is something to share with folks. When people sit there and say, oh, wasn't it cool they were dressed in white and honoring the suffragette, and they're just such great politicians. Okay, well, do you know what these politicians stand for and what they claim they represent versus what the suffragettes actually represented in the early women's movement? A little history lesson. Some frustrating comments from the governor of New York. On the flip side of that, I was thinking, my producer Andrew sent me this piece where Cuomo apparently wrote an op-ed in the New York Times claiming that he is not run by his Catholic faith because he is supposed to be supporting the Constitution, and he keeps his private and personal views separate from his public life. I am so sick and tired of hearing that Geraldine Ferraro, Mario Cuomo approach. I'm Catholic, but I'm personally opposed, but I can't put my... That is such baloney. People run for office because they're personally passionate about their views. Why bother? I mean, okay, power and money, I get it, but a lot of people who are out there are doing this, at least they say, because they're passionate about this, that, or the other thing. And yet, when it comes to the controversial issues such as marriage and abortion, those are the only things that they seem to say they can't go public about. They have to keep it private. And it's just the opposite of what we're called to do as Catholics and committed Christians. We have a personal relationship with Christ, yes, but it's not a private relationship. You don't preach the good news by keeping it to yourself. It's just the opposite. It's counterproductive. And so how serious are those views and how important are they to you if you're not willing to tell the world about it? That's just so wrong. And it sounds very PC and sounds on the surface, oh yes, well that's, you know, very mature. Baloney! What else are you against, personally opposed to, that you're not willing to go out on a limb for? I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I can't, you know, take that out in public. Are you personally opposed to other key issues, but you're not going to do anything with that? I don't think so. Anyhow, we need to talk about these things and get people to think beyond the PC statements, whether they be in what they wear at an event or what they claim in an op-ed. Now, on the bright side of this, I thought that maybe perhaps he felt compelled to write an op-ed, not only because he wants to push back and he's been in open opposition with the church and whatnot, but maybe on some level, and I continue to pray for him, maybe on some level there's a voice that's telling him, you're wrong, and he needs to defend it. Why would he have to prove himself? He's got a lot of power. Why the need to put a piece in the New York Times? What does he care what people think? That does protest too much. Anyway, that's my prayer, that maybe there's a tug on his heart, and he's thinking about this, and continuing to try to justify it. Let's pray and hope that's the case, all right? Oh my goodness, already 9 minutes past the hour. Let's see what's happening in and around the world, and what in the world is going on in Virginia. We have more on that right now on a Thursday. Well, Virginia is heading deeper into political turmoil after Democratic Attorney General Mark Herring admitting to wearing blackface when he was a college student. Democratic Senator Mark Warner is taken aback by the flood of political scandals in his state.
I'm shocked and incredibly disappointed. This has been an awful week for Virginia.
Herring apologized, saying in a statement yesterday he did wear brown makeup and a wig to look like an African-American rapper during a party as an undergraduate at the University of Virginia. The news coming amid fierce calls for Virginia Democratic Governor Ralph Northam to step down after a racist photo surfaced from his medical school yearbook, and he admitted to wearing blackface as a part of a Michael Jackson costume last week. Meanwhile, the lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, is being accused of sexually assaulting a woman 15 years ago. And regarding that story, reporter Jeff Bennett says The alleged victim, Vanessa Tyson, who happens to be a professor at Scripps College in California, claims that Fairfax forced her to engage in acts with him in Boston during the Democratic National Convention,
saying in a statement that a 2004 encounter with Fairfax, which she says started as consensual kissing, turned into a sexual assault. Tyson says Fairfax has tried to brand me as a liar to a national audience in service to his political ambitions.
Fairfax has adamantly denied Tyson's claims, calling the encounter consensual. In other news this morning, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo demanding that Venezuela allow humanitarian aid to enter that country. The Venezuelan government is cutting off access to the Colombian border.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's military using trailers to block desperately needed food and supplies from the United States.
That's reporter Kerry Sanders explaining that the President Nicolas Maduro controls the army, and the aid shipment was organized by the opposition leader Juan Guaido, who has declared himself interim president. Pompeo is demanding Maduro let the aid through. In a tweet, Pompeo said the Maduro regime must let the aid reach the starving people. Maduro has said the humanitarian aid will be the start of a U.S.-led invasion and vowed that no one will enter. Former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky could get his sentence changed on his child molestation conviction. A Pennsylvania appeals court this week rejecting arguments by his lawyers for a new trial, but ordered the 75-year-old to be resentenced. Attorney Al Lindsay represents Sandusky.
The Superior Court agreed with us that the sentence that was given to Jerry Sandusky was illegal because it imposed mandatory minimum sentences which were not authorized by recent court holdings.
Lindsay says he still plans on appealing the decision to deny a new trial to the state Supreme Court. Sandusky sentenced to 30 to 60 years back in 2012 after being convicted on 45 counts of child molestation. And there are more questions than answers about that plane crash that killed a pilot and four residents in Orange County, California last weekend. The NTSB tried to figure out what caused the catastrophe, as Nancy Mell describes how she was almost a victim.
The alternator broke free and shot through this window and went through that wall into the bathroom.
A vigil is set for this evening for four victims killed in that plane crash. The pilot, identifying as 75-year-old Antonio Pastini, was also killed. Now, after finding police credentials, a coroner identified him as a retired Chicago policeman, but the Chicago PD say they have no record of him. Investigators say after further review, the credentials appear to be fictitiously created, and a badge he was carrying was reported stolen back in 1978. The man's daughter, the pilot's daughter, telling authorities her father was born under an entirely different name, that of Jordan Isikson. The Federal Aviation Administration reports that Pastini had a clean flight record, though, prior to last Sunday's crash, as they continue to try to figure this all out. Law enforcement and fire agencies in Orange County are celebrating the official launch of a brand new text to 911 service they hope will catch on around the country. Fire Authority Chief Brian Fennessy says it allows folks who are being hearing impaired or disabled to reach a dispatcher by text message.
Man, the world is changing, right? And we talked a little bit about the first of a new generation. This really is the first of a new generation of technologies that is coming that will make, you know, the current 911 system seem like a Ford Model T, if people know what that is.
The countywide service can also help folks who may be in a situation where speaking can be dangerous. Photos and videos can't be sent yet, but those options will be explored when that technology approves. And finally, in our news segment this morning on a Thursday morning, February 7th, a new survey out there from leadership training company Vital Smarts finds too many workers are being overburdened because they just don't say no. The reasons people say yes to more work are varied. Three-quarters of employees report they don't say no because they just want to be helpful and accommodating. Others have bosses with unreasonable demands, and some just don't feel like saying no is an option. Taking on more work than you can handle can lead to stress, which in turn takes a toll on physical and mental health. 14 minutes past the hour. Hope your Thursday is going well so far. We're so glad you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Teresa Tomeo. If you're a new listener, welcome on board. You can find out all the information you need to know about this program and many others at EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. A powerful testimony from Fire by Water. That special story up next. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. And we'll be right back.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Metti and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objective risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
You want to make God laugh, make plans. I'm sure our guest, Sohrab Amari, author of From Fire by Water, from our friends at Ignatius Press, never intended to become a Christian, especially not a Catholic, but yep, God had other plans, and you never know where God is going to lead you. It's always a great place and better than what you imagine, but you just never know, and that's what's so exciting about being a Christian, especially a Catholic Christian. Again, our phone lines are open if you have a question for our guest. The book is From Fire by Water, My Journey to the Catholic Faith, by our guest, Sohrab Amari. Well, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so it's an amazing story, and I was telling people that they should never be afraid to share their testimony, because some whatever we've gone through, someone can probably connect on some level. So your background, I mean, it's super interesting, because you came from an intellectual background. You were born in Iran. So tell us, just I don't want to give the whole book away, but can you just kind of give us some of the highlights that finally led you to start even considering Christianity and then Catholicism?
So I was born to, as you said, a secular, middle-class, intellectual family in Iran, but I was born after the revolution at a time when, as you know, the new Iranian regime that deposed the Shah had sought to forcibly, coercively re-Islamize the country. And so I grew up with this clash between what happened internally behind closed doors at our home, where my parents drank alcohol, which obviously was against the public Sharia law. I was surrounded by Western books and movies and music and ideas. But outside, like everyone else, we had to conform to the new regime's norms, which were enforced on pain of flogging and jail and sometimes death. And so that created this, essentially put a major division between me and God, because as a 13-year-old, I concluded that if God is as the regime presents it, God is just a set of laws that are ruthlessly enforced by a police state, then I want nothing to do with that God. So at 13, about to turn 14, I became an atheist while I was still living in Iran. And then right about the same time, my mother and I immigrated to the U.S. And so the book really chronicles how from that atheism, which I kept on after I came to America, through a process of 20 years of both reading and thinking and a couple of providential encounters with the Mass, I concluded that A, there is a God, B, that he's the God of the Bible, and see that he is most present, most fully present, most richly present in the Roman Catholic Church. So that the story, this is not a big spoiler, obviously, the story ends with me being received into the church in London, where I was working for the Wall Street Journal, a few pages at the time.
Yeah. So you're an opinion writer still, and you have a background in that area. So you were someone who was used to investigating and doing research as a writer. What was the length of the process, though? Because I know your conversion has been compared to that of St. Augustine. How long was it? How many years?
I guess about 20 years. I mean, depends on where you count, because when I was a teenager, now living in America, I was still, in a sense, looking for the truth, for meaning, for a real morality to guide my life, but I found it in all the wrong places. So initially, I was drawn to Marxism as a teenager living in Utah and later elsewhere as I moved around the country. And in a sense, even that Marxism was a search for God, because, as you know, the ideology of Marxism has a very religious quality. It has this idea that history moves in a certain direction and ultimately in a sort of revolutionary apocalypse redeems all of the past injustices. So mm-hmm. that hunger for truth wasn't completely quelled in me, but it was finding expression in the wrong things. And then, as I said, I did begin to read. I dipped my foot just a bit into the Bible in my early 20s, and I read just the Gospel of St. Matthew. Was profoundly moved by this idea of this, even if I didn't believe it, the idea of God himself offering himself up as a sacrifice. Then a few years later, I read Pope Benedict's book, Jesus of Nazareth. Mm. And I just thought that, first of all, it proved to me that, you know, it's perfectly possible to be intelligent, skeptical, and still square biblical faith with reason. And second of all, that the witness of the four evangelists is credible. And again, I did more Bible reading. I read the Old Testament in the light of Pope Benedict's book, and it sort of made it clear how the two books, the New and the Old Testament, really tell one story, one narrative arc in which God draws mm-hmm. himself ever nearer to us. So I concluded that what my conscience was telling me is that there is a God, and he is the God of the Bible. And so I think I was serious about it. As you said, I think I was well considered, and I thought about it. I've read a lot. But there was also a mysterious aspect, because, like I said, in my own life, whenever I felt these moments of shame or crisis sometimes, I would go to the Mass. Even as I professed to be an unbeliever, there was this mysterious attraction for me to...
But why the Mass versus just any other... Because you could find any church on a street corner, right? So why the Mass, and how did you know about it?
I mean, I had loose cultural associations with it. You know, there's the baptism scene in The Godfather that one
right.
associates
oh, yeah.
mm-hmm. with Catholicism somehow. But this idea that was always there for me, that Catholicism is original Christianity. You know, it's the oldest church. And so this 2,000 years of continuity was deeply attractive to me, even when I was an unbeliever. And then, but a couple, like I said, there were occasions where I couldn't explain, but I was in New York, sort of feeling ashamed of having drunk too much the night before as a hungover, as a pretty young man. Again, still professing to be a non-believer, but in that moment of crisis, and I think our Lord directed me to his Eucharistic presence, so I ended up going to the Mass.
Yeah, that's amazing. We're chatting with Sarab Amari, author of a brand new book from Ignatius Press, From Fire by Water, and it's endorsed by one of my favorite teachers in the church, and you know this well, folks, as I talk about him a lot. He's endorsed my books, including Extreme Makeover, Archbishop Chaput from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and our friend George Weigel. I want to open up the phone lines, Sarab, and let folks call in. Your story is so fascinating, but so timely. 877-573-7825. Again, that phone number is 877-573-7825. What I keep thinking about in relationship to what you do as a journalist, as an op-ed writer, being that you're in the media, and your story is so profound, and the timing right now, given your background and the intellectual understanding you had of the world and the fact that you were well-read, I'm wondering, why did you decide to do your story now? Because the time, God's timing is always perfect, but the timing is so profound right now because of what's going on in our world.
Yeah, so while I was under instruction, I was undergoing catechesis. This was in London. A couple of months into it, across the English Channel in France, this priest, you'll remember, Father Jacques Hamel, was murdered by Islamist terrorists. And
okay, hold that thought. We're going into a break. I lost track of time because I'm so interested in your story. That was my bad. This is fascinating. So please hold on. We'll let you finish that. And we'll also take some calls at 877-573-7825. Get a copy of this book from Ignatius, From Fire by Water. You can also find it at our religious catalog or the Ignatius website at ignatius.com. From Fire by Water. Our guest, Sohrab Ahmari. We'll be right back. Our conversation with Sohrab Ahmari, the author of a brand new book from Ignatius Press, From Fire by Water. Powerful story. My Journey into the Catholic Faith is the subtitle. Again, it's from Ignatius. So you were saying before, I forgot about the time because I was so intrigued by your story that we were going to be hit by a satellite break. I really think the timing of this is so significant. Why did you decide to do this book now?
Yes, yeah, so as I was saying, that while I was under instruction with a priest, once I had finally decided to become a Catholic, living in London, I knocked on a rectory door and I told the priest I wished to become a Catholic, and sort of didn't miss a beat. He just said, "Very well, I shall instruct you." And but 2 months into that process, across the English Channel, a pair of jihadists murdered this priest, Father Jacques Hamel, while he was celebrating the Mass. And so I was so moved by it that I just went on Twitter and I said, "I am Jacques Hamel, and oh, by the way, it's a good time to share that I'm under instruction to become a Roman Catholic." And that tweet just blew up. It went viral. Thousands of people retweeted it. Thousands of people contacted me to congratulate me. The response was overwhelmingly warm, but lots of people misunderstood what had happened because they saw that I had an Iranian background. So they assumed that I was a Muslim, which I wasn't really a practicing, believing Muslim at all. And they thought that instantaneously this martyrdom of Father Hamel had converted me to a Catholic, which wasn't true, as we discussed. Mm-hmm. This is a 20-year intellectual process. And I wasn't prepared to answer all the questions I received and to explain what really had happened. So I decided the best way to do it was to tell the whole story in a book. So it took a, 220-page book to really share the full intellectual and spiritual journey. So that's how the book came about.
And let me open up the phone lines again if you have a question. 877-573-7825 for our guest, Sohrab Ahmari, author of From Fire by Water. I could imagine that someone with your intellectual background and someone who continues to write for some pretty prominent publications, when you start looking at these great minds in the church, such as Augustine or Aquinas, this is, I think, one of the things that frustrates me so much, is that the world presents Catholicism or Christianity in general as being really stupid. The people who are in it are desperate. They lean on this as a crutch. And yet when you start to look at the great minds of Catholicism especially, it is phenomenal. I mean, the church has something on everything in our lives. I mean, you look at the catechism, you pick a topic, it's in there. So this, I'm sure, probably also had an influence on you as an intellect.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Catholic library is quite literally infinite, and the depths of the minds that have formed the church for 2,000 years. You mentioned Saint Augustine. I would say more modern figures like John Henry Newman.
Oh yeah,
Pope Saint John Paul II.
Benedict XVI. Right.
Mm-hmm. Is overwhelming. And the thing is that we're conditioned to think that whatever is new is best. That's the ideology of our age. But, if you go through the difficulties of real life, and if you read well, you notice that the most fundamental questions never really change. No amount of technology, no amount of information, no amount of modernity really answers those basic questions about right and wrong, about who am I, where am I headed, what's the meaning of life, why is there this voice inside me that acts like a conscience. Those questions, the questions that are posed really by the fear of death, by the fear of God, never have new answers. So the church has this 2,000-year-old library where you'll find answers that are far better than the shallow things that kind of contemporary Western life give you. At the same time, I would say I have a wonderful spiritual director who whenever I kind of get too intellectual about the faith, he's always kind of quick to remind me. He said, you know, our faith is the faith of St. Augustine, of St. Thomas, of Benedict, but also of the cleaning lady.
And so it
because the questions, the level of depth you can go into it is very high, but the basic answers are also for everyone, and the sacrament is for everyone, confession is for everyone. It answers all people's needs.
Yeah, that is so true, but it's gotten so twisted in the way it's been represented out there in the world. What does your book say to the world right now, do you think, Sourabh?
We just say that what I just said, that that you know, our world is one where it insists that the only questions worth asking and answering are ones with scientific or empirical answers, and that truth is only what can be written up in a database or spat out by a computer, but that real life is much more complicated, and that there are sets of questions, again, moral questions, questions about the conscience, questions about a relationship with each other and with Almighty God that never go away. And that, you know, my hope is that, you know, some younger version of me who's out there will read it and sort of be able to use the book to get through the confusions of the age and reach a better answer than they might be right now. That's the aim.
What about all of the heartache and the pain that people are going through because of the latest round of the abuse crisis, a story that broke last summer with Cardinal McCarrick, former Cardinal McCarrick, and we hear the Pope on the plane coming home from his very successful trip at the UAE talking now, asked a question about, because apparently there is a special section in the Vatican, L'Osservatore Romano, dedicated to this topic of priests and bishops abusing nuns, and he went so far as to say there has been such big problem here that it could even be considered in some cases sexual slavery. You hear stories like that, and it's like another knife in our heart. How do you respond to the critics who say, what in the world are you doing in that church?
Well, I would first of all say that, you know, the Christian understanding of human nature is not a simplistic or naive one. Our understanding of human nature almost begins with the fall. You know, before we know much about Adam and Eve, they've already betrayed God and try to sit in his place and are therefore deeply broken, and we inherit that brokenness. So first of all, I would say that, you know, although the Roman Catholic Church, I believe, is the one true fold, it was founded by Jesus Christ as a divine institution, nevertheless, it's also filled by lots of sinners, including myself. So I was never naive about the Church insofar as it's partially a human institution or a divine institution in which human beings live. That's one. And I would say that, look, my vocation is a journalist, so I've tried to do my bit where I try to raise questions about, especially the McCarrick case, really outrages me the fact that, you know, how did he rise to become a prince of the church? Those questions are perfectly fine, and we lay people have a responsibility to ask those and to press our pastors to make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen again. The last thing I would say, though, is that really, you know, the majority of these cases we're hearing about, it's really important for people to recognize that they're historic cases, that certainly in the U.S. after 2002, the Church instituted profoundly restrictive measures, really zero tolerance measures that, you know, you don't see that kind of behavior of shifting around abusive priests and so forth anymore. That doesn't mean we shouldn't deal with the historic abuses, but, you know, as a father, I have every confidence today that Catholic schools and Catholic institutions are far safer for my son than your average kind of public school. So that element, I mean, it does not at all excuse what happened in the past or suggest that we shouldn't look into what happened in the past and bring accountability, but it helps put things into perspective.
Sure. There are still current issues, though, with the abuse crisis, not just the issues that happened in the past that need to be addressed, as you mentioned with McCarrick and many more. So, Rob, thanks so much. Really appreciate your testimony. Beautiful story. Thank you for your witness and your honesty. From Fire by Water, My Journey to the Catholic Faith, from our friends at Ignatius Press. We'll be right back.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent agent. Get Choice Insurance Agency, representing auto owners insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. Call Greg at Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200, who will protect you in that moment. Call 734-641-4200.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back. Phone lines are open. We're here to take your calls and your questions. 877-573-7825. Fantastic testimony from Sarab Amari from Fire by Water, My Journey to the Catholic Faith. And we were chatting during the break. I said, look, I agree that the church has done a lot to correct the earlier problems. And a lot of the reports that we're hearing do involve cases in the past. But we can't ignore the fact that there's many issues that need to be addressed, especially what's going on in some of our schools. And that's why we have a Kelly Solomon with us. And she is from the wonderful Cardinal Newman Society. Kelly, good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Teresa. Great to be with you.
It's a crazy world out there. I mean, it's one thing when we get attacked from the world. We expect it. It's not pleasant, but it's not a surprise because we know that we are pilgrims on a journey and we're the church militant and we keep going forward. But when it comes from within our church, it's very disheartening and can sometimes be just so heartbreaking, especially, for example, the recent situation with Covington Catholic, the way those kids were thrown under the bus immediately by their own church officials was just so heartbreaking to me. And you look at that and you're like, what? And not only from that diocese, but from two or three other dioceses and their officials in that same state. So let's talk about that in terms of some of these bizarre things that have been happening.
There's certainly been a lot going on in Catholic education, Teresa, and the Cardinal Newman Society, we've stayed on top of it. We've been covering it for years. We'll continue to provide commentary to Catholic families, help them make good choices when it comes to choosing Catholic schools and colleges. This incident with the Covington High School students, I think, shows more than ever that Catholic school students have a target on their backs, and Catholic schools need to have strong policies in place to know exactly what they stand for and how they go about everything from their curriculum to their hiring, to their choices for literature in the classroom. We need to be stronger in Catholic identity than ever because there's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be more and more issues as Catholic schools get attacked for standing up for Catholic beliefs. Fortunately, the Newman Society's done a ton of work on this. We have policies, curriculum standards, everything you can think of, you can name it. We have it available for free on our website. The same goes for Catholic colleges. We have tons of resources available so that Catholic colleges can know what policies they should have in place and what they should be doing to be strong in Catholic identity.
All right, so a couple of the cases that you're highlighting, we did mention Covington Catholic. What was your organization's response to what happened with those boys who were at the March for Life?
We said you know, the media was so quick to turn on these Catholic school students. We should be highlighting what Catholic schools are all about. And, you know, this all happened around the March for Life, when so many faithful Catholic schools and colleges made great efforts to be strong witnesses at the March for Life. And that is not popular in our world today, as we see. I think we'll be talking about an incident at Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not popular in some ways to be pro-life, but Catholic schools and colleges need to be strong in what they stand for.
And Georgetown is one of the other cases we were going to talk about this morning. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we're chatting with Kelly Solomon from the Cardinal Newman Society. If you'd like to ask her a question, 877-573-7825. Had a quote-unquote Christian abortionist speak, correct?
Yes, it's unbelievable we're even having this conversation.
Well, it's unbelievable that somebody could even call themselves a Christian in with the word abortion attached to it. Sorry.
Exactly.
Something's wrong.
It's blasphemy.
It
doesn't work. We cannot use our Christian faith to justify the killing of the unborn. This is an abortionist who is performing abortions in several states across the country. He was hosted on the campus of Georgetown University to speak to students. Now, Georgetown
is
the oldest.
About what?
About exactly this. About how he believes his Christian faith can go
supports killing innocent babies. Okay, all right.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, Georgetown is our oldest Catholic university. Alumni filed a canon lawsuit against Georgetown University because of issues that the Cardinal Newman Society has been exposing at Georgetown for years and years and years. And nothing is being done. And so Catholic families need to stand up. We need to not support Catholic universities that financially, we need to not support them if they are going to betray Catholic values to such an extent as this. And we also need to be wise with where we're sending our students to college.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
We're in that time period where students are going to be making their decisions. May 1st is coming up. Choose wisely to make good choices where your students can go and be formed in the faith and come out stronger than ever. Thank goodness we have faithful Catholic colleges that we recommend in the Newman Guide that would never dream of inviting an abortionist on campus. And they are on the other extreme, where their students are doing First Friday holy hours at 11 p.m. at night on Friday, and half of the student body is there praying to build up a culture of life. They are the colleges where students are going and praying at the abortion clinic every Saturday, because this is what we believe as Catholics.
Yeah, it's just... I'm glad I have a show, as I said yesterday, or else I would explode. Anyway, we're talking to Kelly Solomon from the Cardinal Newman Society, 877-573-7825. I think I told you about this conversation I had with a very concerned father. I was speaking at a conference in Michigan, and he came up to me afterwards and was complaining because he was sending his daughter to a very expensive, quote-unquote, Catholic college in the Midwest. I won't name the college. But he said within one semester, she came home and completely lost her faith. And he thought he was sending her to a college that would encourage her in her faith and affirm what he had been teaching them. He had spent all this money on Catholic school, grade school, high school, and now college. And he came home and she came home and was debating him about abortion, was debating him about so-called same-sex marriage and all these things. And I said, okay, are you still sending her to this college and paying the bills? And he said, yeah. And I said, then what do you want me to say? I said, as a parent, you're supposed to help your kids get to heaven. That's your primary role in it. And the education, as the church says, is primarily the catechesis begins and starts at home, right? It's supposed to be with the parents. We don't just send our kids off to school and expect everything to work out by osmosis. And he looked at me with this look like, I can't tell her that she has to leave that school. And I said, well, what do you want from me? You're sending her to a school. Within 4 months, she's lost her faith, and you're still defending spending all this money. I mean, I don't know what else to say to people when they bring that up.
Yes. Teresa, I have calls like that all the time as director of our Newman Guide here at the Cardinal Newman Society. It's very sad, but I have several families call in and tell me about their student who's lost their faith on campus, but they're unwilling to make changes. Catholic parents, it's our duty to raise our students, our children in the faith, whether that means homeschooling, a private Catholic school, a parochial school. We need to find ways to make Catholic education for them their entire lives, from the time they're little through college, because that is our duty as parents. Thankfully, again, we have these faithful Catholic colleges where students can go. Families are amazed by how many programs are offered, athletic options, you name it, these colleges have it. So let's build them up. Let's come together as Catholics and build up these faithful Catholic colleges.
What is it, do you think, Kelly? Because you speak to even more parents than I do, because you're on the phone doing this. This is what you do for a living. Why do you think parents are reluctant to have their kids make a move, even though they're getting into situations where it could be costing them, God forbid, at some point, possibly even their salvation, what they're doing at these schools?
I think it begins out that they don't realize there's a difference in Catholic colleges. There's definitely a range in Catholic identity at Catholic colleges, and I think a lot of families don't realize that, and that's a big part of what we're trying to do is come over that learning curve and help families realize that Catholic colleges are not all the same. I think that's the first battle. The second battle is once students get somewhere and they realize it's not good for their soul, it's hard to go against what your son or daughter wants. But ultimately, you have to have their greater interest in mind. You know, we care about the souls of our students more than anything. And so they need to be in places where they can find good Catholic friends that will support them in the faith, where they can be supported in the faith in the classroom, where their living situation in the dorm promotes good Christian virtues. You know, students are being formed all across campus, and so parents are sometimes going to have to need to make the hard decision and say, we're the ones helping pay for this college. We can make this decision.
Yeah, and if they don't like it, then tell them to pay $50,000 a year. Tell them to come up with some money. Sorry, I mean, this is ridiculous. When kids are coming home and saying they believe in abortion and all these different things, you have to take a stand.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more.
I have a funny story of one of my friends, and her daughter was complaining about what she was learning in Catholic schools. She was saying, well, I don't know if I agree with this, that, the other thing. And so my friend told her, she said, okay, then why am I spending $15,000 a year? You don't want to go? Fine, don't go. Or if you want to go somewhere else and you pay for it. All of a sudden, the girl started paying attention and started to have a different attitude about school. How quickly she changed.
Yes, having some responsibility in their own education, you know, makes them step up their game.
Unbelievable. All right, well, let's take a break, and then we'll be right back with Kelly Solomon. And what's the website for the Cardinal Newman Society, by the way?
NewmanSociety.org, and you can go to our Newman Guide section, read full profiles on every Catholic college that we recommend, and also check out our essay contest going on for high school students right now.
Very cool. All right, my dear, always good to speak with you. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
College campuses used to be places where young people were exposed to conflicting ideas and opinions. We're now at a point, though, where speakers get shouted down and safe places are set up to protect students from upsetting thoughts. Mental health studies show these efforts to make students feel safer are doing the exact opposite.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck on Living for God and for the World's Possessions.
Whatever they are, the things you want to possess and have in this world, we sometimes hide them from God. We don't want to bring them into our relationship with God because we're afraid He might say something we don't want to hear about those things. You can't have both. And Jesus is saying, as long as you hold on to those things, you're not going to make progress. At the end of your life, when I call you home, the story of your life will have been written. It will be all there for my Father to see. What did you want in this world? Did you really seek God? Did you love God first? If you did that, there will be a glorious story that's communicated for all eternity. But friends, if we were half in and half out, or Jesus talks about as being lukewarm, that mainly our Christianity, our Catholicism, is kind of driven by a sort of slight sense of guilt, that's all going to be revealed. And there'll be tremendous sadness. And the scripture says we will pound our chests with regret and cry out, what was I thinking? So that's why the Apostle Peter says, strive, friends, make every effort. For if you do this, you will never fall. Embrace it, run after it.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Wrapping up a busy Thursday morning, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net, where you can go for more information. Let's see if we could take one call real quickly. Michelle calling in from Kentucky this morning on Line 3. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
So it seems like the Cardinal Newman Society is out to provide information and be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually in the Covington Diocese. My boys are at Covington Catholic.
Okay.
And while I'm not 100% thrilled about how our bishop handled things, I do feel like it was a situation they were totally unprepared for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is going to happen over and over again. So I'm wondering if the Cardinal Newman Society has any emergency services or even just a plan that they can distribute to dioceses to help them handle an emergency social situation like this, what to do?
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot, and that is a great question. I'm going to give out the website again for the Cardinal Newman Society, newmansociety.org, but it's something that I actually do. I have a communications company, and I do crisis management, especially crisis media management, and I work with a lot of different people on how to handle situations and to recognize when you're being placed in a very difficult situation. And I have to say, what I was amazed at was if you look at those videos and you look at them every different way and every different angle, despite the fact that they were thrown into something that nobody expected, I think they really handled themselves quite well. And I think at one point there was one video that I hadn't seen where Nick was actually telling one of the boys to calm down. One of the boys was starting to ask questions of Nathan Phillips. He wasn't being disrespectful, but he was kind of getting a little bit excited, and Nathan said no, or Nick said no, let's just let him, let him be, let's just be respectful. But I don't know if the Cardinal Newman Society has anything, but that is a great idea, and we'll see what we can do about resources. So you might want to contact them, though, at newmansociety.org. But we have to be ready for this. You're so right, Michelle, because especially now in this toxic culture that is so anti-Catholic and especially anti-life, people are going to be looking for opportunities to exploit us, and we have to be aware. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't wear things in which we believe and be afraid to get involved in peaceful activities such as a March for Life, but we have to be prepared how to respond, and to respond in love, and to respond respectfully, and to remember that everybody has a virtual TV studio, as my friend Lisa Hendy told me that we were talking last week. We ran into each other, and we were talking about this whole Covington thing. Everybody's got a TV studio virtually in their hands, and more people need to be aware of that and to be prepared when we go into these public situations. So appreciate your call, Michelle. Again, the Newman Society, newmansociety.org. Looking forward to chatting with you tomorrow on a Friday, and then I head to the Holy Land on Saturday. Steve Ray and I are leading a pilgrimage, a sold-out trip, and I will be praying for all of you. If you have a particular intention, email me at ttomio@att.net, and we will take those prayers to every single altar where we're celebrating the sacrifice of the Mass. And we will be all over walking in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Apostles and Our Lady. We'll be going to, of course, Holy Sepulchre and the Garden of Gethsemane and Ein Kerem, the scene of the Visitation, and the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem and Shepherd's Field in Bethlehem. And we'll be all over Galilee at my favorite parish, which is a Primacy of Peter, a small parish and church on the shores of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus told St. Peter, feed my sheep. I love that church. That's my favorite church. I'll explain more. I'll be calling in. But next week we'll have Vanessa Den Hagarmo behind the mic and also my dear sister Sherry Brownrigg, both amazing women in the Lord. And they'll be handling the microphone for me. I'll be with you tomorrow, and then I'll be calling in at some time. And then we'll also have a couple of special Catholic Connections with yours truly that I'm leaving behind, some good interviews I think you'll enjoy. So just wanted to let you know that we can take your prayers with us, and we do that. So you can email me at ttomio@att.net. Many of you have already done that, but we'll be praying for you in the Holy Land. But I will be talking to you tomorrow, so stay tuned. Have a great Thursday, and remember, always keep your eyes on Christ and never be afraid to share your story. You never know who needs it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AVEMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connections.